Hi, everybody. Welcome to the 20th episode of the Spodcast. I'm Josh. And we're here in the normal Spodcast recording studio doing Spodcast stuff. With me is Glitch.
Hi.
And Campster.
Hello.
And Alex.
Yo.
And this is going to be a totally normal episode. So you may have noticed that there's video on this podcast, and I guess if this is, I don't even know if I'm going to put up an audio-only version of this. I don't know. If there is, we're here playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds in the background because we were like struggling to find stuff that we wanted to talk about. And so at some point someone got the grand idea of what if we played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds while also trying to talk about random Spodcast stuff.
Hey, give me credit. Give me credit where credit's due. That was my idea. Not somebody.
Glitch crazily just came up with this idea of playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds.
Well, I said, I'm going to play PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, thinking we weren't going to do one at all. And then Alex was like, let's record Spodcast while we're doing it. I'm like, this is a dream come true.
Nice to see the aiming's all messed up. Still didn't fix that.
Anyway, so Chris, what have you been up to this week?
Finishing an Errant Signal episode, playing a lot of PSVR. That's about it.
Looking at this loading screen. What have you been doing in PSVR?
Is everyone else still on the loading screen? Am I?
What? No, you're not supposed to mention these things.
Oh.
Okay. No.
Bye, Josh.
There may have been a slight malfunction.
That was a problem.
Hey, stay on topic. This is the Spodcast. What are you doing?
Yeah, so what have you been playing in PSVR, Chris?
Skyrim, which is weird.
Scram.
Ooh. That doesn't have
is
a PC
it really
version yet.
Worth it, like, to
no,
play it again?
No, every, a thousand times no.
Again and again and again, just constantly playing Skyrim. That's what it seems like for some people since 2011.
Especially without mods, I would not recommend picking up, like, unless you really desperately feel the need to play this game again. The other problem is...
Does it not have mods on the PS4?
Not on the VR version. The VR version is a separate version than the PS4 version.
Of course.
Oh my god.
When are they going to make a mod for Skyrim that's PlayerUnknown's Battleground in Skyrim? Because that's what I want to...
They probably already have that.
They are working on a multiplayer mod for Skyrim, actually.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard there's going to be a multiplayer mod for Fallout and Skyrim and everything forever, so I don't know how much I trust that.
I mean, they have videos of it. They recently released a new one.
This is a bad idea. Yeah, I feel like the only reason to play those games after they release is mods. I don't know. But clearly their marketing is working. I mean, they have people getting the games again and again. So, like...
I think, you know, like, Skyrim is, like, the Call of Duty of, like, first-person
RPGs.
Adventure games.
Yeah.
I was gonna say fantasy games, but I guess, like, World of Warcraft's kind of like that. Because they also keep still, like, they're selling the classic, World of Warcraft Classic. And they announced that at BlizzCon, and the vanilla servers. So basically they took the idea from the fans and, you know, they're going ahead with it, their own vanilla servers. So I wonder how many people are still going to do that.
I don't know. What makes the VR version weird is that, like, it suffers seemingly the opposite problems that everyone's complaining about Doom VR. Apparently Doom VR sucks, so I would recommend not picking that up either, but I haven't played it. But the reason people complain about Doom VR is that it is, at least on the Vive version, teleport locomotion only, and also has serious problems with left and right, where at the beginning of the game, before you can dual wield, you're only picking up guns one at a time, and you have to use your right hand. And if you want to use your left hand, you have to literally flip which controller is holding what hand.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah.
So how's the locomotion?
Yeah, I was just about to ask.
In Skyrim, it is traditional Skyrim free movement. It plays like Skyrim in first person. They do a lot of heavy vignetting. The faster you are going, the more it vignettes.
Okay.
Is that good? You ever get sick?
It is pretty nauseating. It is not. The vignetting helps a lot, but it's still free-floating camera in VR, which is not a great feeling in your stomach.
Wait, so it's not first person? Or oh,
no,
right,
it is.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I was like, what? Yeah, I don't know how they're going to fix the whole VR issue with that, like, if you move around freely, you get really sick. Except maybe by making it so that when you run, that happens. But
well, like, as I understand it, Resident Evil 7 did a lot to fix the VR sickness stuff with their movement, because their movement is not teleport either. You know, it's free movement. And I think they did some vignetting in that, and they also did some other stuff to make it so that it wasn't so disorienting to, like, change your location and everything.
You know, I thought I was going to be the
I mean, you're not allowed to talk about this, Chris.
You are hiding in a bush.
Anyway.
That was so bullshit.
So, Skyrim is weird. Really, my favorite, this is going to sound stupid, but my favorite title on PSVR right now is PlayStation Worlds, their little demo disc. Those games are more fleshed out than you would expect. I actually really like London Heist, which I did not expect to, because it's really kind of cheaply made, but I like those games a lot.
What is it exactly?
So it's the PS Worlds is the little demo disc you get, and it's like five games, and one of them is a luge game that basically operates like Outrun, except you're luging down a street, so you like tilt your head left and right to be able to turn, and it's like you're luging, and yay. Which is cool, and it's a real good beginner game, but whatever. There's the undersea shark encounter game that they did at all the conventions, which is probably the most impressive as a VR experience of like, oh my god, I'm being attacked by a shark, but it also has like no gameplay, it's just chilling. And then there's the you are inside of Tron playing a weird breakout clone with your face, which kind of hurts your neck, because like to do your power move, you like slam your head forward while the ball is hitting your breakout cone, and that hurts after about 5 minutes of gameplay of slamming your neck forward because you're not a bird. And then what is the fourth game? What is the one that isn't London and isn't the others?
For those of you not watching the video, he has no excuse right now. He's literally not doing anything.
No excuse for what?
Not remembering.
Forgetting what you were saying.
Track of your thought.
Well, now I moved, so there. Now I can get back on my thoughts. No, but there's a... Some one of you who is dead, tell me what the other game is, other than London Heist.
I don't know. I don't have PSVR.
Is it the
if
story
were
game?
Here, maybe she could tell you.
The what game?
There's like a story where you just watch the story, and it's like
there's
a
two
cityscape.
Of those. There's There's the, you know what one, which is the Under the Sea one, which is a story one where the story happens around you and just, like, you encounter sharks, but none of it really matters. And then there is the one that is the London Heist. And the London Heist is a little bit more gamified in that there's, like, an epic shootout. But, It's basically the closest you could come to being inside of a Guy Ritchie movie. And my favorite scene in that is, like, you are in a... The lights open up and you it's no longer black. And you're sitting in a pub. And there's a lighter and a cigar in front of you. And you could literally grab the lighter, light the cigar, put the cigar up to your mouth, and then use the PSVR microphone to breathe in. And then it makes a fiery breathing in sound, and then breathe out and breathe smoke at people. And there's really, it's great. Something great to be a gangster that can just, like, sit in a bar and smoke. Like, that is easily my favorite thing out of this entire pack, is just sitting in a bar smoking while my gangster friend explains to me the hit we're about to pull tonight. Like, that is easily my favorite thing. And yes, every time I talk, I slow down because control is my talk key and my walk key.
Can I just say it's really bullshit that Bethesda has, like, split these off so that Skyrim VR is only on the PS4 at the start and Fallout 4 VR is only on the PC. I think Doom VR is on both.
Doom VFR is on both.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing if that is even remotely playable at all.
I have heard Doom VFR. I have heard that it is on the PlayStation. You get actual freeform movement. On the PC, you have you know what? On the PC, you have to use the teleporting. Yeah.
I don't understand why they can't just do both. I mean, I guess it's because the Vive controller doesn't fucking have a stick on it.
But it does have the. It's not really analog input, per se.
Yeah, the aren't great.
Alex, right, do you have a VR headset?
I don't, but my old office did.
High fives. High fives for being peasants. I'm waiting until VR becomes something that actually has real games on it. Remember, Josh, I know I've talked to you about this. I don't know how many other people have talked about this, but remember back in the day when we were like, yeah, the killer app on VR is going to be Half-Life 3, and that's how Valve is going to sell. They're going to make a VR or a new console.
That seems so dumb nowadays.
Doesn't it seem ridiculous?
Oh, yeah. Man.
But they did it, it's still true. You would still buy it if it had fucking Half-Life 3 on it.
I don't know. Like, Valve has sunk so far, in my opinion, from what I once held it at, you know, like all their policies
are dumb. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Their handling of Steam is terrible.
They're not a game company anymore. That being said, I still would be curious if they suddenly came out with a Half-Life 3 on a VR console. It would be terrible, because VR, but it would sell a lot of units. It'd be like Star Wars Episode 7 of video games.
Yeah, that is pretty true. Like, it seems almost like it's still a missed opportunity for them to do nothing with that.
Well, yes and no, in that, like, it's not, like, single-player games aren't going to be as profitable to them as, like, something like Dota 2, where they're making money hand over fist with, like, I'm not really sure what the marketing strategy is, but I'm pretty sure they have in-game transactions and like skins and stuff, and they're making tons of money off of that, and they have no reason to make a single-player game where you buy it once and that's it. That being said, other companies might, but they're not going to give up the licenses, which is fine. I'm not really, like, interested in Half-Life 3. I don't know how many of you have read the plot synopsis the writer gave for what he was thinking.
I'm, like, so done with Half-Life at this point.
It was actually a pretty cool plot synopsis.
Yeah, I liked it.
Like,
it
I had it in a tab for a while, and I just never got around to it. And it was like, it's just It's just sad. I mean,
it is kind of sad, but as far as trying to wrap up that game, it was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, and I like the fact that he said there was no ending, like because if you've read it, it doesn't exactly end the story or conclude anything, and that the head writer just didn't have a conclusion, and he didn't think the game would have ever concluded. They're gonna drive past you. I mean, VR.
The VR headset is driving past you now, Camster.
Yeah.
What kind of VR headset do you think it was? Do you think it was an Oculus?
Let's all honor this toilet and medicine cabinet and light switch.
What if this game was in VR?
I want to comment so badly. That'd I like be how scary. This has become Spodcast Look at Chris's Butt Edition.
I'm not looking at my butt. I'm in first person, so.
That's true. Look, you are swapping Chris's back and forth now. Barrel. But most of the footage so far has been us looking at your butt in bushes, crawling across fields, in a bathroom, in a shed.
You do realize that the two of us are literally identical in this game.
Yeah, I know. I like looking at my own butt, and I like looking at yours. Did that pick up on the recording?
I yes. heard a little bit.
My wife just says, I like looking at yours.
Alex, what have you been doing and or want to talk about on this edition of the Spodcast that is happening
Chris
right now?
Chris hides in a bathroom because everybody else is dead.
Well, I've been checking out Battle Right.
Checking out
what? That is recently that? Went free to play. So essentially it's Team Fight the Game. So, it's not really a MOBA. It was a misnomer to say that. Like, I think some people call it a MOBA, but it's an arena, a literal arena. And you have the MOBA skills where each character has, like, a ultimate and then other attacks and whatever. But it's controlled with the WASD as opposed to, like, point and click. And it's just 2v2 or 3v3 battles, and there's no level system, there's no items. You just go in and kill people. It's a best of three. The matches are done pretty quickly. And it's a lot of fun. It's very stressful.
So it's sort of like top-down shooter version of a MOBA.
Yes. That's a good way of describing it. And it's free to play.
So it's 3v3?
Through 2v2 or 3v3.
Oh, that's an interesting team size.
Yeah. They have classes, but the classes are basically like literally melee, ranged, and support. So there's like tanky characters and non-tanky characters and all those categories. And you can buy the game for $30 and you get all the characters unlocked. So you have the option to just not worry about the free-to-play system if you don't want to. You just want all the characters, straight up.
That's how I like my games.
What kind of time scale are you looking at if you just want to do it free-to-play and unlock all the characters through time investment?
I'm not sure. I know that you get currency when you just have the game, so you start off with a bunch of characters. It's not like a free-to-play rotation. It's just you get a random selection of characters, and they may not be the same as what somebody else gets, which is interesting. And then you can buy, again, enough currency to buy some like cheaper characters, and the like more expensive characters seem to take a lot longer to get, but I haven't been paying attention to currency gain or anything.
Well, that's good. Like, if you can ignore it, I think that's a good system where, like, it's not going to bother you that you're not... Because some of those systems are, like, very much, oh, I know I don't have the premium characters because I'm losing every game.
Well, and I mean, what I will say is that I feel like there's not enough characters for me to stay as interested as I'd like, because they give you two of each class, and... Like, I mean, one of the supports I got is this very annoying deer girl who has, like, no health and is just a healer. And so she drives me nuts, so I don't play her. And there's a melee guy I don't like, and the two ranged people they gave me are pretty good. You can also get characters in loot boxes, so I think I got one of those. But right off the bat, there's like two characters out of the six that I don't like, so I'm stuck with using a rotation of four. And I don't know, I guess I can't complain if I haven't spent any money yet, but it's not keeping me as interested as I'd liked.
How does it work having a healer, like a dedicated healer character in a team of two?
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is like, I don't know how the matchmaking works, but I feel like a lot of the times, especially for new players, like, you just get fucked at character select, because if you have, like, two healers, or, like, even, like, your two ranged characters fighting a team of two melee characters, that can skew the game very, very much, where you could either get, like, if you're fighting two ranged characters in your melee, you could just get juked the entire game and just get shot down from afar. Or, like, if you're two healers, you're probably going to lose because, like, you just don't do enough damage.
You'd expect for a game that's designed around 2v2 and 3v3 that, like, each character would be less specialized. Like, every character can do damage and like, participate in that kind of thing, and then, like, some character, you know, does a little bit of damage, but is good at healing and whatever. As opposed to, like, the Overwatch model of, like, you don't want to be trying to attack a team as a mercy with no backup. You can do that, yeah. I guess. Her DPS
you can do that more now than ever.
High.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Go towards it. Go towards it. Now's your chance. Golden boy.
No, what are you talking boy. About? We're talking about battle right.
Yeah, our golden boy Chris in winning field, in
Chris is battle right.
I can't fucking believe it. Take it. Get it. Oh, no.
Oh, God damn it.
With a mini fork right. game. What are we talking about? Battle right. So cool. I can't believe it.
That was so dumb.
I'm trying to picture battle right because I've never even heard of it. Like, this is completely new to me, so I'm looking.
It sounds interesting. Like, I'm interested. Like, I might pick it up, like, check it out and
free
to play at least.
Animal Crossing. Have you played Animal Crossing?
Yes.
Oh yes.
I've been playing Animal Crossing.
I have played an Animal Crossing game in the past. We're talking about the phone version.
Yeah, the Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
It's my first Animal Crossing game I've ever played.
Oh, Alex, no, that makes me sad. Don't say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the first thing I said is people pay money for this shit.
Well, that's the thing I was just about to say, is I can't ever imagine paying money into it. I don't know. I hope they're making money off of it because I really enjoy the game, but I don't know why you ever would spend money on stuff in Animal Crossing.
It has nothing to do with Animal Crossing.
Yeah, but like there's no real way to spend your money in a meaningful way, I find, either. So, in the mobile game.
I just feel bad that it's Alex's first Animal Crossing, because the real Animal Crossing is not this crass.
Yeah.
But it's the same basic principle as you, like, collect things and give them to people, right?
No. Right. Animal Crossing is not kind about of. Collecting things and giving them to people.
Oh.
Though you can do that in Animal Crossing.
Like, the real Animal Crossing is, like, an interesting game about a tension between sort of materialist, extrinsic motivators from sort of an urban environment and sort of the intrinsic motivators of just doing a thing and chilling. And,
You gotta pay back Tom Nook.
Well, yeah, yes, you do, but Tom Nook is one of the characters that represents that sort of, like, oppressive level of rah-rah capitalism that clashes with the rest of the sort of more passive, rural, agrarian society that the game advocates. The problem is that this game doesn't really care about the agrarian side other than making it a thing you have to collect to make other people happy. Like, the tension in Animal Crossing is between, like, legitimately finding it relaxing to go fishing and just chill for a little bit, which this game boils down to a really simple mini game, which is not what it's like in the real Animal Crossing. And then the only reason you do that in this game is to collect fish to give to other people, whereas in the real Animal Crossing, it's more like you collect fish either to give to your museum or because it's a fun, relaxing thing to do, or because you want to sell them and get money, and it sort of is indifferent to how you use them. This game is very much like, no, you're collecting fish to give to people so you can get crap.
Yeah.
Hmm. So yeah, more like Stardew Valley, because in Stardew Valley you can do that, right?
Yeah.
You put them in the Stardew museum Valley, or you...
It's closer to a Stardew Valley or a, what's it called? The Harvest Moon is really what Animal Crossing is closer to.
That's disappointing, because I can see myself getting bored of this game in a few weeks, because it really is extremely tedious, and I know most mobile games are, but I have very little motivation. I'm not really interested in decorating my camp in any way. I'm constantly changing the furniture anyways, because I have to invite new people all the time.
Yeah, that is also not a thing that happens in the main game, where in the real games, you get a house rather than a campsite, and it's your house. You put whatever in it you want, and it's sort of yours. And again, it's that conflict between, like, do you want to spend a bunch of time today fishing to grind cash to be able to pay off Tom Nook and make your house bigger or buy a bunch of fancy stuff? Or do you want to do it because, like, your neighbors asked you for a specific fish and you want to help out your neighbors and be kind of chill, and it's, like, more pastoral and relaxing? And that's the core tension in Animal Crossing that makes it really interesting and cool. And this game has all the trappings of the pastoral, relaxing, let's just chill setup, and then all the mechanics of the, no, F you, it's all about progress and collecting things and filling out bars.
I don't know, I still find it to be fun and relaxing to a degree. It's not completely sterile from the things that I liked about Animal Crossing. It's just a little more mini game esque, but I think that that's a fine thing with a mobile game, to be honest. Like, I don't find myself missing the way Animal Crossing. I mean, I would love to have a full on this is Animal Crossing in mobile game. I would absolutely love that, but I don't know. I feel like they did a good job for a mobile game. If you're comparing it to other mobile games and not of the other Animal Crossings, I think you can say, oh, this is a great mobile game, because I have a lot of fun with it. And I sure, it might not last more than a couple weeks, but no mobile game has ever caught me for very long.
I'm still playing The Ventures because I am a stupid, stupid person.
What is it?
I feel like I should...
Oh, man. I was done with those Ventures a long time ago.
I've never heard of that.
The Avengers Academy,
Avengers. Gotcha.
Glitch.
Fuck you and your shotgun. Sorry.
Right.
I've been
I feel like
everything this game.
I should check out the Fire Emblem game at some point.
Oh, it's so good.
They have a Fire Emblem mobile game?
Jareth is really into it.
Yeah, I know.
I love the Fire Emblem game.
I tend to like things that Jareth likes. Yeah. So I don't know. So maybe someday they'll have a better Animal Crossing game on mobile, but still, I think they've handled it better than Pokemon Go. I know Pokemon Go was super outrageously like big, but Pokemon Go really rubbed me the wrong way. Even if I played
it. Just basically
more.
Die, though?
Yeah, they completely kind of ruined it. In my opinion, they kind of ruined it. Especially by, like, they really shut down any possibility to track down Pokemon. What they wanted to do is they wanted to force you to go outside and walk around. But that just doesn't make sense for a game. like, inherently, and I can appreciate that they want to, like, get people to go out and, you know, have exercise or whatever, but it was so much forcing you to go out and, like, explore, and it's like, I don't have time for that. I have a job, you know?
Yeah.
When I'm playing games, I don't want to play a game that makes me do work or feel like work, you know? And that's what Pokemon Go felt like in the end. And Animal Crossing doesn't. Like, I play it at night when I go to sleep. That's it.
It encouraged people to, like, keep up a lifestyle that no one can keep up with. Like, and Pokemon Go goes great for the summer. And it was a thing people did in the summer. They went on walks, and it was nice. But then, like, I knew the game was dead as soon as winter hit, because no one in the, you know, Canada or in the northern United States is going to want to walk around looking for Pokemon with their phone out in, like, minus 30-degree weather. And then you lost them at that point.
Yep. And they made it impossible for you to track anything, so it's not like you could go and track on your phone and then drive in your car. They didn't want you to do that. And obviously, I don't say, oh, play Pokemon Go while you're driving. But my wife and I would drive around, and one of us would drive, and the other one would have both the phones, and we would do it that way, and it was great. I really had fun with that. I feel like
so
I had
glitch.
Something more to say.
Oh, you did?
Hold on. You can cut it out in the edit if we have to. But man, I feel like I have something else to
say about mobile
games.
Are you kidding? I'm not going to try to line this up with footage.
Oh, that's true. I hadn't even considered that. So yeah, what have I been doing besides Animal Crossing? I have been playing a game called The Elder Scrolls Legends. Didn't see that one coming, did you, Josh? Yeah, so I don't know if
card games.
I'm gonna talk about card games. I don't know if any of you have played many card games, or specifically The Elder Scrolls Legends, but that's what I've been playing a lot of lately. It's the Elder Scrolls card game. It's kind of fun, kind of. I don't know.
Oh boy, how
I never get too. I don't ever get too competitive with card games. So I guess that aspect of it is lost on me, and it is a little bit too microtransactsy. I don't like how much it costs, like time cost for that game. If you want to have like multiple decks that are really good, is just incredibly high. You'd have to be playing every day and winning a lot of matches to really go anywhere. It feels like. Hold on. It's interesting. They've just released a new expansion, which has added some more cards. They've been adding new cards pretty regularly, and it feels pretty fun and balanced. So, that's what I've been playing. I feel like nobody else has anything to say about it, but I really did want to surprise you by saying that, and not the other game, which I've also been playing. I've been going back and playing SimCity. No, I'm just kidding.
God damn it.
Now I can't remember its name. What's that game?
Kingdoms
and Castles.
And Castles or something.
Such a good game.
I don't actually remember the name of it now.
I think it's Kingdoms and Castles. I think that's what it is. Yeah. It might be Castles and Kingdoms, actually.
I think it's Kingdoms and Castles.
Well, I think it's Castles and Kingdoms, Josh. So, how about that? No, but anyway, it's a... How to describe it? It's a city management game. It's like a medieval setting, which is kind of obvious from the title, I would hope.
If you play Banished, it's like that, but with enemies in it.
Banished. I haven't played Banished, so I don't recognize that title. But,
it's like one of those, like, city-town, like, community management things where you have people with individual, like, you know, that aren't just, like, nondescript units. And you, like, have them and they get assigned jobs and you assign them to do stuff. And oddly, there's no priority system. Which I found strange. Like, because there are a couple times when I would really like to have this particular tree chopped down, and that doesn't happen.
Well, it does, it prioritizes by what you say first, I think. I'm fairly certain.
Yeah.
So, like, if you tell it, chop down this tree, the first thing that they'll do as soon as possible is chop down the tree. I think they have some amount of, like, if you have jobs unassigned, they will attempt to get you to get your workers to work there before they do any of your manual tasks, yeah. Which drives me nuts. But overall, it's a fun game. It feels fairly fairly worked out. Though I will say it's a little easy. It feels like
I feel like the start is pretty slow. Like
the start is slow, and they don't have nearly
the resources you get don't give you a lot.
Yeah, they don't have nearly a fast enough fast speed. Like the super fast speed is kind of like
the fast speed feels like speed 2 in other games.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of annoying.
But it's neat. It's got a really neat like low poly-esque art style, and you build castles and fight dragons and Vikings.
Yeah, and Vikings. Though, again, I think that that's a little too easy. I wish that they would have modes where, like I what I really like is I like building up, and then I wish that I could, like, summon more attacks. Because, like, there was a point wherein I was playing, and I've kind of already beaten the game. It's a $10 game. I probably put, like 30, 40 hours into it, and then it stopped being something that I could, like, experience new things with. And I'm playing around with it. Still a little bit, because I like to experiment and do different things. But mm-hmm. It, like, almost felt like the attacks were too and far between, and once you get up a big stronghold, it just feels kind of, a little, pointless.
Yeah, that's great.
It's hard to talk and drive cars, alright?
Are you fucking serious?
I'm not dead. We're not dead.
No, Campster got caught in another bombing. I mean, Chris is clearly talking about the state of Bethesda's microtransactions.
Well, and let me just bring this conversation in about 8 times scope magnified. Because that's what the kind of... And I think we need to really focus on the kingdom and castles element that hasn't been talked about yet. And it's the scars that you may experience when you're... I don't know, I got nothing.
It's pretty good.
She's good.
I appreciate the attempt. oh, there goes Chris. Go. But yeah, I would definitely recommend it for... It's actually on sale again, Josh. I swear to God, I bought it right in between three different sales. So it's like currently like $7.25 or something like that. And yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with it. If you are into chill, kind of think, kind of don't games, then this is definitely for you. If you want a challenge, I played the first time on the hardest difficulty and didn't have any problems. So
I was wondering about the hardest difficulty, because I've been playing on the middle difficulty, and I think I got my first Viking raid around year 35 or so.
Oh yeah, I got it in like year 15, and it was kind of like they come up and they'll set fire to a couple of your buildings and then they'll leave, and it's kind of like okay, uh-huh. Well. And then, like, I don't know how far you've gotten with, like, actually building a military, but the military system is really underwhelming. It's really difficult to control, and your guys don't attack unless if you specifically tell them to attack a specific unit. Problem is, it's really difficult to target those units, and, like, then there's, like, maybe there's 6 Viking raiding parties, and then you have to target one individually. It's just kind of like, I just let my towers deal with it, and I just don't even train an army, so...
Honestly, I was wondering really what the point of the army system was, because like you said, you have defensive towers and stuff. It's like, why do you need to raise an army? You don't get like Viking camps to go take care of. They just show up on ships.
Which would be great. Yeah, it's still in development.
Why do you need to muster forces?
I really hope that they add some sort of, like, maybe there's another town somewhere, because I'd love a challenge mode where you're competing with other towns to expand quickly. Make the best town, compete. But as it is now, there isn't a lot of that. But yeah, it's a good pickup. $10.
I guess it's my turn to talk about what I've been playing.
Yeah. The Elder Scrolls
and
Legends.
It's really unfortunate that I've spent all but like 5 minutes of this podcast dead, including right now.
Sucks to be you. Yeah, I lured you up the stairs to your death.
You fucking...
That's great.
I've been playing this game called Die Young, and it's a indie parkour puzzle solver game.
Okay.
It's actually funded by Indiegala, the like Humble Bundle-esque store that's less popular, if any of you guys have heard of them. And basically what it is like, you're a, rich, like 20 something woman who is just really addicted to like doing high adrenaline shit. And you go with your, it's basically Far Cry 3. Okay. It's basically the story of Far Cry 3. You go with your, frat party, friends to this fucking island in the middle of the Aegean Sea, and just go to like hang out. And then it turns out there are evil cultists on the island and they knock you out and drop you in a well and like apparently kill most and or all of the rest of your friends. I haven't found everybody yet. And you have to just kind of explore this island and try to find your way out by basically exploring spaces using parkour. It's really interesting, like Mirror's Edge was all about speed, right? Like,
yeah,
going and like gaining momentum and getting that up and like completing like, you know, interesting jumping puzzles quickly. This game is much more about like first person jumping puzzle solving. Like Mario right. style or you know other
so it's
like,
more
traditional
like
platformers.
Then? Yeah, that's one of the complaints I had about Mirror's Edge is that it couldn't make up its goddamn mind. It's like I want you to go fast and then stop everything. All right, now we're gonna go real slow. I'm like ah.
Yeah, you don't have any like so far that I've seen like situations where you're in like a forced fight against like people you don't really want to fight and like it's really annoying. Like there are like rats that are in the bottom of like caves and stuff that attack you for no reason.
Rats.
You can hit them with a stick and kill them in like 2 hits.
Well, I think that they're hungry. I think that's
those
the
are
reason
not
that any rat
strictly
attacks anything.
Like those are not strictly forced fights, but they're fights that you kind of want to do because they're just in the way and you're trying to look at the puzzle. But all the rest of the enemies in the game have a ton of health, and it's pretty obvious that you're not really supposed to fight these people so much as just run away from them.
I like that. I like that a lot. You're selling this game to me. I want to play this game.
Yeah, it's like $15. It's early access. I don't know if it's finished. But there's like a lot of content there for what it is right now. A lot of interesting like spatial exploration puzzles, you know, go and find your way like sort of Assassin's Creed style, but requiring a little bit more like skill, find your way around this like abandoned forest manor that's all like caving in and figure out what happened there while doing like platforming puzzles. And it's really pretty neat.
It sounds interesting. I'm gonna have to get that from my brother for Christmas.
I see. That's how it's going.
Oh, you know what I want? I want Kingdoms and Castle multiplayer. I want to play Kingdoms and Castles with you online. That would be cool.
That'd be cool.
So, Yeah, I don't think there's a window there, but it looks like there was, or it looked like there was. I think it burst with one of my punches. Anyway, I don't know if this is a topic that that has come up on this podcast before, or something that you guys are interested in talking about. But what's up with the lack of multiplayer games that have like cooperative multiplayer games? I haven't played a good cooperative multiplayer game since, like, the last one I really loved was Endless Legend, or Dungeon of the Endless. That's what it is. Endless Legend is the, like, RTS.
Well, I was gonna say we never played Endless Legend together.
We should play that together sometime. That was a fun game. But Dungeon of the Endless was even more fun, I thought.
Divinity 2 has great co-op.
Yeah, oh, we played that together, Glitch.
Did we talk? Have you talked about Divinity 2 on this podcast?
I don't think we did.
I've got some complaints about it. I have lots to say about Divinity 2.
Glitch and I played through the first act together, and then he was like, I just want to play through this single player.
I didn't like the multiplayer. It was infuriating. I hated it.
Really?
And it's not because Josh is a raging asshole. Not just because Josh is a raging asshole. No, I'm just kidding. Josh was great to play with. If anything, I was the asshole. But it was like, it was super frustrating, because it was one of the first RPGs that I was actually interested in a long time. Like, I actually wanted to play this game and figure out the story and stuff, and you know, enjoy it that way. And then multiplayer just wasn't conducive to that. You can't have multiplayer conversations. It's impossible to really pace well, because, like, if you want to have a conversation and really be involved in it, you have to have a conversation after your friend has already had the conversation with someone. So it ends up being you have, like,
yeah,
you have to do every conversation for every player who's there, and it's killed it. I don't know of any friends who have made it all the way through the game multiplayer. So
the dialogue system definitely, I think, should have been a little more. A little more, you know, party inclusive, like having it all like kind of split off into separate conversations. It was interesting if you wanted to split up, but
yeah,
when
Which
you had like really important conversations to have.
Yeah. I can get that for sure.
Did you play through Divinity with someone, Alex?
I didn't even get through the first act with co-op.
Yeah, see?
Like, it doesn't even tell you when...
But it's just because it's a huge game. Like, that was more my thing. It's just, like, I can't get through any single-player games anymore, it seems.
I would just like to compliment you.
Or, like, big narrative games that...
Thank you.
Like, but it doesn't even tell you when there's a major conversation going on with your, like, there's no sound effect or, like, big pop-up. It's just, like, you notice that there's a little mouth icon over your other party member. Sorry, what were you saying, Alex?
Oh, I was just saying, like, I think it's a streamer syndrome. And, like, when you're trying to stream, like, stuff, single-player narrative games are typically the thing that you don't stream. Because, like, it's hard to get the audience involved, and, like, you know, people are less interested in watching people play that kind of stuff. So, often, because I've been streaming so much, I just haven't been able to get to single-player games. Like, Dishonored is one of the only games that I've been playing in my own time, and actually recently, I've been picking up Persona 5 again, because I'm like, ugh, I really need to play this.
Over there, Chris?
But yeah, it's just like, unless you have a community that's been established that will watch you play anything, like, it's really hard to get your audience in on single player stuff. Shouldn't have left the group.
Goodbye, Chris.
Oh,
shit. You guys totally missed this awesome bit where Chris ran someone over with a car, though.
Oh, we saw the kill
feed. I was too busy getting kills and getting killed.
Please tell me you got that on camera.
Oh, it's. I was watching you. It was great.
You want to swap to me now because I'm getting attacked?
Yep, I am watching you.
Why aren't you running?
Why am I not running? Because he's got his sights trained on me and I'm stuck on a tree. You want to come help me?
I'm gone already.
Well, he's coming your way, so Have fun with that when that eventually happens to you.
Okay, I'm coming back.
No, don't come back. Don't come back. I think you're very wise to not come back. Should use my smoke grenade, but...
Fuck. Yep. God. Yes, you should.
Be careful, Alex. Be very... I hear him.
Sorry, we were talking about Divinity Original Sin 2.
I didn't expect us to get this fucking far in the game. God damn.
With little to no communication.
God damn it.
Alright, I'm done.
M416. Man, I got 6 kills that game.
Get down, Alex.
You had a scope? God damn it. I've been looking
for a scope.
What did you think the 8X thing
was? I had, like, multiple
4X
scopes.
It's right there.
This is why we're supposed to talk to each other.
That this is a game that...
Damn it.
I feel really bad for the people watching this. They're listening to this without seeing the video if I'm going to put up one of those, because, like, nothing makes sense.
Honestly, I think Squadcast would be better with video underneath it. I'm probably better if it was pre-recorded,
though. Maybe
people
will agree with you.
Oh, I'm so bad at this.
Hopefully. Oh, you got shot from behind. That's a good round.
Well, Alex did the best.
I hit people.
Anyway.
Well, you ran over all those people.
Chris hunted down people in a car. They got out, and then he plowed through the car and killed one of them, and then kept driving. Glitch got shot at point blank range and died.
He had a better gun than me. I don't know. I feel like we've been recording for like what, an hour now, hour and a half.
About 15 minutes.
Are we gonna do another round?
I don't. I mean, do we have anything else to talk about for this podcast? Divinity Original Sin 2 is an interesting game, but flawed.
My game crashed.
Yeah,
that's about it.
I
think this is the end. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Spodcast. Or watching the Spodcast, I guess. Watching the Josh is Dead cast. Hopefully there will be more of these before the end of the year. December is really crazy. I'm going to be gone next week. Maybe we can record something next week. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. Thanks everybody for tuning in.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.